If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, as we are going to read together again the portion of the sixth chapter about which we have been speaking for the past several days. The sixth chapter of the book of the Revelation, we remind you, contains the story of the opening of the seven sealed book. Four seals were opened, and as each seal was opened, one horseman of the apocalypse rode forth to signify what was going to happen on the earth during the tribulation period. Then the fifth seal was opened. We have discovered that the fifth seal is not related to what is happening on the earth, but what will happen in the heavens during the tribulation period. Let us look at the scripture first, review what we have noticed, and then offer some new thoughts for our meditation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled." Now we describe for you, in ordinary language, what is presented in this particular paragraph. An altar in heaven. Gathered at the foot of the altar, a great number of people who had lost their lives for the cause of Christ. They were asking God why it was he did not take vengeance upon the individuals who were responsible for their martyrdom. But God said, instead of doing that right now, I clothe you with white robes. I want you to rest. When everybody who is supposed to be a martyr has lost his life, then I will deal in vengeance and in punishment with all concerned. We discovered as we meditated upon this passage the interesting fact that there is a literal altar in heaven. We examined a number of passages of Scripture that verified that fact. Not only did we examine the passages of Scripture which verified that there was an altar in heaven, we examined some passages of Scripture which indicated that that altar plays a very important part in the activities of heaven as they are related to the earth. And we discovered that though there were a number, more than one, altar in heaven, this particular altar was redemption's altar, the altar of sacrifice, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ offered his blood as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. We want to notice today why it is that these people were gathered at the foot of the altar, at the foot of the altar of sacrifice. And the reason that the people gather at the foot of the sacrificial altar is because they themselves were a sacrifice for the Word of God. You will notice in verse 9 that they were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. It's an interesting thing to notice that the word that is translated slain here is the Greek word sphazo, which is the same word which is used of the Lord Jesus Christ back in chapter 5, verse 6 of the book of the Revelation, when John said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." The Lord Jesus Christ was slain as a sacrifice for you and for me. These people were slain as a sacrifice for the Word of God and the testimony which they gave. To my mind, this is indicative of several things. It is indicative, first of all, that there will be people saved during the tribulation period. You will keep in mind that before the tribulation actually begins, all born-again believers are taken out of the earth, and the only people left on the earth are the people who are unsaved. There is not a Christian person left on the earth after the Lord Jesus Christ takes out his church. But though there is not a Christian left on the earth, the Word of God is still left on the earth, and the testimony that has been planted in the hearts of multitudes of people is still in their hearts. The Word of God, you will remember, is like the seed planted in the ground. It may not come up right away, but it will come up eventually. There will be many people during the tribulation who will suddenly wake up to the fact that the truths that the old fanatics have been emphasizing all this time are true, and they will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and as Lord. As we're going to see in chapter 7 of the book of the Revelation, when we come to it in our study, God is going to set his hand in a special way on 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They will go up and down the length and the breadth of the earth and will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every tribe and tongue and nation. They are going to do in 3.5 years what we have miserably failed to do in 2,000 years. Many people are going to believe the gospel and are going to be saved. But at the very moment that they give their testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is their Savior, at that very moment that they give their testimony to the fact that they believe the Word of God, at that moment they sign their death warrant, because those who will be in authority in that day, as we're going to see when we get a little farther along in the book of the Revelation, those who will be in authority will hate the very name of Christ. And all those that dare to mention his name will die because they have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these people whom we see here in chapter 9 of the book of the Revelation are people who have died in the first part of the tribulation because they have dared to give the testimony for Jesus Christ. The reason we know that these are people who have died in the first part of the tribulation is suggested in the last part of verse 11, when we are told that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren should be killed as they were. It's just the same as saying there are going to be more people during the tribulation who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be more people who will testify for the Word of God. When they do, they will have to die. So you folk just wait until the number is complete. You will notice the accuracy of the Holy Spirit in discussing the Word of God. When he uses two phrases, he said, when your fellow servants, that is Christians, and when your brethren, that is Jews, Gentiles and Jews, when all of them have given their testimony and have given their lives for their testimony, then I will be able, God says, to do the thing which you ask me to do, and will visit the world with judgment for this sacrifice which they have made of your lives. Now will you look hurriedly with me at Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, and notice what these saints of God are doing. It's important for us to notice it. You know, there is so much misunderstanding about the state of the dead, where they are and what they are doing, whether they are conscious, what is going on. after folk have died? Well, here we have an illustration. This is an illustration of those who die in the midst of the tribulation, but the principles are the same. And though we will not have time to look at everything that is recorded about these individuals at this particular time, the thing that I would like to emphasize this morning is that the dead are conscious. And if tomorrow, the Lord willing, you are able to tune in again, we're going to talk with you about the conscious dead in heaven. What is happening to them? What they are doing, and in what they are engaged. This should bring a great deal of comfort to every person who has loved ones who have gone on. For some dear saints of God have been concerned and discouraged because they have been told that the dead know not anything. That's a relative statement used in connection with those who are alive. But it does not refer to the idea that the dead sleep, nor are unconscious, and are without life. But enough of that for today.